wanted to, I guess, start by asking, I saw a wonderful film about a songwriter named Harry Nilsson. Do you know him?
No.
Well, his arc, as many gifted performers' arc, seems to be the third act always sucks. It always does, you know. And I was just wondering if you could try to, I mean, it's the case with Judy Garland, as we were just saying, with Harry Nilsson, with Edith Piaf. And I was wondering if you could make an attempt to try to explain why you think truly gifted artists of this caliber always seem to run down, burn out. What do you think the key thing that happens with all of them? What is the common aesthetic or experience?
Sensitivity. Extra sensitivity. It's like when you give your heart, your soul, when you express yourself with what you are deeply inside, it puts an artist in as if you're naked, you give yourself without control, and I think that, yeah, that pureness of emotions you share, you give, add to the failure you have in you when you are an artist, and it is also that failure that gave you the need, the desire to express emotions and to feel alive, drive you to be maybe fragile.
I was wondering if you thought perhaps the not to be too analytical, but do you think that perhaps Edith Piaf's lack of conventional positive nurturing by her mom or her acrobat father resulted in a lack of positive self-image or something? Not to get too psychological about it, but, you know, do you think that was a...
You know, I think one thing is that when you are abandoned, when you're a child, you will search all your life for love, for attention. Attention, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
I think you are afraid to be alone because you know what it is to be alone and to be lost. It's part of her failure. And it is what creates her power, the power of her emotions, and the deep need to to share and to be loved.
You know, I said in my brief review that I ran yesterday that it didn't matter at all in any to me in the slightest that you are about a foot taller than Edith Piaf.
I don't know what is a foot,
c'est
but
30 centimètres.
30 centimètres, c'est ça. She was, elle faisait 1m47 mm-hmm. et je fais 1m. Yeah, it's less than a foot, but c'est 20 bons centimètres.
At least two-thirds of a foot.
Yeah.
And I was just wondering, because Oliver was so exacting and so thorough in his shooting of this film, did he cast people who were somewhat larger? Did he make the scale of things somewhat, to make you a little bit shorter? Mm. I was just curious if he did that.
No, because, for example, Jean-Pierre Martins, who plays Marcel Cerdan, he's almost the same size mm-hmm. as me. So it was definitely not about the tall, the height. All the other actors, they had that thing in their shoes.
The lifts.
Right.
To make them bigger.
Mm-hmm.
Set director, comment on dit le...
The designer.
The set designer created, for example, the New York apartment. He made it everything a little bigger mm-hmm. than reality mm-hmm. to make me smaller. And for myself, when I could play barefoot, I would play barefoot. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I always tried to make me smaller. And one thing, maybe a little bit more abstract, but I was sure it would work. If I thought I was small,
yeah.
I would look smaller.
You know, I was struck by, I never really, where I've seen a little video on her, and I've seen performance video of him. And I was struck by the, obviously, the most glaring thing is the posture, you know, the posture mm. of, and that is such a vivid expression of self-esteem, you know, particularly a performer who is told always to stand tall, you know, look at the audience in the face, you know, never cower, you know, always, and yet, this is an expression of her self image by walking like this, or what was that about?
When she was on stage, and it's funny because her best friend, I met her best friend, she's still alive, and
is she the best friend seen the film, I presume?
No, not the one, not the first one, not Momon, she's dead in the mid-70s. But the one, we see her a little bit in the movie. She's there at Marcel Cerdan's death. She prepared the whole corridor with the roses.
Yeah.
And we just see her at the end of the corridor, watch if everything works okay. Mm. And she told me that she had that position, and on stage she would open everything. The fact that she's a little bit
hunched.
Like this,
hunched
comes from the fact also that she was ill, and that she had pain in her body.
But was the blindness when she was young. But what was the illness that caused the...
She has rheumatism.
Rheumatisms.
Rheumatisms in her whole body.
The arthritis. rhumatisme.
Oui. Tout ça. Elle avait tout là.
All the arthritis and the bone, the pain.
But what you say might be true. That it's not that she didn't like herself, but I mean, yes, I think that probably when you're abandoned, you have a lack of self-esteem, for sure. And she found her power in her talent and her work and her voice.
I made a point of contrasting a shot of you in the Ridley Scott film with a shot of you as Edith Piaf, just to make a point to people visually that it's quite a transformation. But I was just struck when you came in that you look significantly younger than that photo I ran like yesterday. It's just amazing the prosthetic work we're talking about, particularly the oldest of. Can you tell me what the prosthetic guy did with your eyebrows and eyes? Did he changed your?
They were not prosthetic. Shaved me.
Just shaved you.
They shaved me there. They shaved me there too to have a bigger front. The prosthetic were there on the cheeks and there.
I mean, all through, in all stages of her life, you had a prosthetic on the cheek, or older?
No. From the time she's 40, it begins in the United States, actually. Mm-hmm. All the scenes in Palm Springs and in the Joshua Tree Desert. Before this, when she's in her 30s, it's just me. My face, I would say, and there's when she's 40, there's only this prosthetic here, and the prosthetic there, it's only for the last part when she's dying.
With the red hair and losing.
Yes,
hair.
I had that bald cap with the red hair. Was the heaviest makeup was for the end.
Did you ever try when you were discussing the role with Oliver about, I know that you're a pretty good singer, did you ever try to mimic her, and how good are you at mimicking without syncing? I know obviously it's synced, but how good are you at doing her voice? Have you tried? You must have obviously tried that.
I didn't try during the working process before the shooting, because I knew that I couldn't in 3 months have her voice, obviously. And the singer that we met, did an amazing job. We worked all three together with Olivier, Gilles, the singer, and I. And she did an amazing job that I couldn't fight to. Maybe if we had had more time, I would have tried, for sure. But it was not a question, I mean, I couldn't do it in that time.
I understand.
So.
Gilles, her name is.
Gilles.
G-I-L.
J-I-L.
G?
C'est un G?
Oui.
J-I-L.
J-I-L.
One L.
One L.
She's in the under notes.
Yes.
Yeah, she's on the.
Okay. And.
So at no time do we hear any. The actual Edith Piaf's voice.
Yes, of course. The point was that Olivier wanted Edith Piaf's voice, so we had to find someone who could match with Edith Piaf's voice. For example, Non, je ne regrette rien, it's Edith Piaf. Milord, It's Edith Piaf.
Mm-hmm.
La Vie en Rose.
Right.
It's her voice too. Actually, all the songs in the 30s, it's Gilles, because or we didn't have the record of, for example, the Mistinguett song Mon Homme, because she never recorded the song.
Mm-hmm.
And in the street, all the songs she sings were not hers, so we had to record all those things, and then that Gilles did perfectly well. But it's a mix of Edith Piaf and her.
How much time do I have?
Like 2 minutes.
Okay. Well, anyway, I think I must be I'm one of the few people that really enjoyed a good year. It's a really Scott film. I thought it was. I thought the tone and the pitch of it was just fine.
Mm.
I really. And I believe that you did. You not attend? You were there, were you not? When everybody did the press in Toronto, did you not? You didn't you sit there with Ridley and?
Yes.
Yes. I remember. Yeah. Anyway, I just wanted to tell you that some of us really liked it.
I'm very happy. Really.
Okay.
It's a beautiful movie. It's a.
Yeah.
It's a little piece of sun.
Yeah. Agree. All right. Oops, I'm sorry. That's bad. All right. Well, I hope to see you this evening. I'll be at the thing. And very nice.
Your heart is ringing.
Yeah.
Stop it.
Thank you very much.
Very much for your
time. Thank you.
Okay.